The driver turned his head just enough to catch me in his peripheral vision. His neck was too thick for any more movement than that. He had red hair clipped into a close buzz, shoulders wide enough to build a deck on, and he'd had to get his business suit at the Big and Tall store. "Hendricks," I greeted him. He looked up into the rearview mirror with his beady eyes and glowered. "Nice to see you again, too," I said. I settled back into the seat as much as I could, trying to ignore my leg and refusing to look at the man sitting beside me. I didn't really need to look at him. He was a man a little over average height, somewhere in the late prime of his life, his dark hair flecked with gray. He had skin that had seen a lot of time out in the weather, leaving him with a perpetual boater's tan and eyes the color of wrinkled old dollars. He'd be wearing a suit that cost more than some cars and making it look good. He looked handsome and wholesome, more like the coach of a successful sports team than a gangster. But John Marcone was the most powerful figure in Chicago's criminal underworld. "Isn't that a little childish?" he asked me, his voice amused. "Refusing to look at me like that?" "Indulge me," I said. "It's been a long day." "How serious is your injury?" he asked. "Do I look like a doctor to you?" I asked. "You look more like a corpse," he answered. I squinted at him. He sat calmly in his seat, mirroring me. "Is that a threat?" I asked. "If I wanted you dead," Marcone said, "I would hardly have come to your aid just now. You must admit, Dresden, that I have just saved your life. Again." I closed my eye again and scowled. "Your timing is improbable." He sounded amused. "In what way?" "Coming to my rescue just as someone was about to punch my ticket. You must admit, Marcone, that smells like a setup." "Even I occasionally enjoy good fortune," he replied. I shook my head. "I called you less than an hour ago. If it wasn't a setup, then how did you find me?" "He didn't," said Guard. "I did." She looked over her shoulder at Marcone and frowned. "This is a mistake. It was his fate to die in that alley." "What is the point of having free will if one cannot occasionally spit in the eye of destiny?" Marcone asked. "There will be consequences," she insisted. Marcone shrugged. "When aren't there?" Guard turned her face back to the front and shook her head. "Hubris. Mortals never understand." "Tell me about it," I said. "Everyone makes that mistake but me." Marcone glanced at me and his eyes wrinkled at the corners. It was very nearly a smile. Guard turned her head slowly and gave me a cold glare that wasn't anywhere close to smiling. "Let's get to the part of the conversation where you tell me what you want," I said. "I don't have time for any more banter." "Ah," Marcone said. "I suspected you would somehow become involved in the events at hand."
"What events would those be?" I asked.
"The situation concerning the death of Tony Mendoza." I scowled at him.
"What do you want?"
"Unless I miss my guess," Marcone said, "I want to help you."
"Yeah," I said, "right."
"I'm quite serious, Dresden," he told me. "I allow no one to harm those in my employ. Whoever murdered Mendoza must be chastised immediately, whether or not they happen to be necromancers." I blinked. "How did you know what they were?" "Miss Guard," he replied serenely. "She and her colleagues have outstanding resources." I shrugged.
"Good for you, but I'm not interested in helping you maintain your empire."
"Naturally, but you are interested in stopping these men and women before they accomplish whatever goal it is that they are pursuing." I shrugged.
"You don't know that."
"Yes, I do," he said, his tone growing distant and cool. He met my eyes and said, "Because I know you. I know that you would oppose them, just as you know that I will not permit them to take one of mine from me without punishment." I glared back at him. I wasn't worried about a soul gaze. Those happened only once between any two people, and Marcone had already gotten a look at me. When he said that he knew me, that's what he was talking about. I'd seen his soul in return, and it had been a cold and barren place, but one of order as well. If Marcone gave his word, he kept it, and if someone came for one of his people, he would go after them without hesitation, fear, or pity. That didn't make him noble. Marcone had the soul of a tiger, of a predator protecting his territory. It only made him more resolved and more dangerous.
"I'm not a hitman," I told him, "and I don't work for you."
"Nor am I asking you to," he said. "I simply want to give you information that might help you in your efforts."
"You aren't listening. I am not going to kill anyone for you."
His teeth suddenly showed, very white against the tan. "But you will go up against them."
"Yes."
He settled back in his seat. "I've seen what you do to the people who get in your way. I'm willing to take my chances." That thought, that attitude, was a little creepier than I was comfortable with. I wasn't a killer. I mean, sure, sometimes I fought. Sometimes people and not people got killed. But it wasn't as though I was some kind of Jack the Ripper. From time to time, matters got desperately dangerous between me and various denizens of the preternatural world. But I had only killed... I thought about it for a minute. I'd killed more of them than I hadn't. Quite a few more. I felt a little sick to my stomach.